The Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn number 24. Why should the children of a king go mourning all their days? Great Comforter, descend and bring some tokens of thy grace. Number 24.
From the Word of God we'll read this evening, the Gospel is recorded by John chapter 17. 17th chapter in the Gospel is recorded by John. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. May God's blessing rest upon his holy word of truth, and may he help us in prayer. Almighty God, help us now to bow before thee in reverent worship and adoration, to acknowledge thy holy presence, thy holy sovereignty over every aspect of our lives, to realize thy greatness, that thou art ever present, thou art all knowing, thou seest us as exactly as we are. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst look upon us this night through Jesus Christ. May it be he that thou dost see instead of us as we now approach unto God. Come this night and make one of our number. Be the master of the assembly and the head of the house. May it be noise that thou art in the house, and may the odour of thy precious name fill this house of God, and fill our hearts with a sweet savour of Christ. We come, Lord, with thankfulness for thy mercies, the mercies of thy returning day of rest, the mercies of the open word of God, thy house that we can come to in freedom. For the throne of thy grace, which is always open. and for triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. May we be thankful, Lord, and may we know thee as our Father, as our Saviour, and as our Comforter and Guide. And then, Lord, help us to be thankful for thy providential mercies, for our health and strength, for all that we possess. Lord, give this night thankful hearts for thy great kindness toward us. Give brokenness of hearts for our miserable returns unto thee. Grant that true repentance over our sins. We pray, Lord, that thou would speak through thy word this night. May it be thy voice that is heard, not ours. May it be thy face that is seen. May the hearers lose sight of this one in the pulpit. May we see no man but Jesus only, and that with smiling face. And then, Lord, as we leave thy courts, may we not leave thy presence behind, but may we have thy sacred presence with us near every day of this week, and may it sanctify the days of this week and set us apart. May we be found walking in the narrow way to heaven. Speak thy word, O gentle Jesus, and give us ears to hear and to recognize the Master's voice. We pray thy blessing upon this church and people. We commend them affectionately to them. Pray that thou art supply all their needs. Bless thy servants as they preach in this pulpit, and direct their words into the hearts and the cases of the hearers. Bless our beloved brothers, the deacons of this cause, and help them in their responsibilities. Give them grace and wisdom in the office that thou hast called them to. Bless each member of this church. Unite them in thy fear, keep them together. May they have the Spirit of Christ. May they have thy presence. May they know thy love. And may, Lord, in thy time they know those gracious additions to this church. And bless each member of the congregation. Remember those who are sick and grant unto them healing mercies. And bless old and middle-aged and young, whatever stage of life they are at. May they see thee going before them in the way. Bless those who have no life and faith. Lord, this night look upon them in mercy and compassion, and do send forth that divine ray into their hearts, and grant that that new life may begin this evening. Encourage those where that life and that work has begun to go on. And prepare those near the end of the journey for that last step into eternity. Bless parents and help them to bring up children in thy fear. And bless those this night who gather from other causes of truth. And may they also know thy blessing in those causes also. And may they be fed under this vine this night. Remember this guilty land and nation, and do supply our needs and turn us back to thee. Remember the causes of truth as they meet this night for worship up and down our land and throughout the whole world. Bless the labours of thy servants and bless the reading services, and grant, Lord, that much may be done this night in the name of the sacred Holy Child Jesus. Bless those who are persecuted for Christ's sake in other parts of the world. Do put forth thine hand and protect them. And bless those, Lord, who this night come into thy house, persecuted by Satan, tempted, devil-dragged, tossed about. Lord, whisper into their hearts, peace be still. Whisper into their hearts that their soul is precious in thy sight, no need they have to fear. May they be brought into that chamber called peace, that peace made by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Grant, Lord, this night that there may be those who lose their burden of sin at the fountain opened at Calvary. May lambs be born into the fold, and may sheep be fed also. Pardon our sins and wash us in the precious blood of Christ. Follow with thy blessing the Sabbath school this afternoon. And may the seed sown in time bear a good harvest. And grant now, Lord, as we come to another sowing time, that our hearts might be prepared to be good ground. Grant, Lord, there may be that root, that growth, and that fruit. We ask and plead thy mercy. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Hymn number 117. Awake, sweet gratitude, and sing the ascended Saviour's love. Sing how he lives to carry on his people's cause above. 117.
Thank you.
as the Lord may be pleased to help me. We turn again to the Gospel as recorded by Luke, the 22nd chapter and verse 61. Luke 22, verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. This morning, and considering the context of this verse, we didn't get further than verses 31 and 32. This evening, the Lord's help, I want to come to the text. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. There was a great difference between Peter and Judas Iscariot. As we read this morning, Judas sought opportunity to betray Jesus. But I believe, friends, that we can say with the authority of Scripture that Peter did not seek opportunity to deny his Lord. Judas acted out of hatred. Peter followed the Lord out of love. And in fear and weakness, he fell into this great sin. But lo, a sinner, he had an interest in the prayers of Jesus Christ. Even at such a time as this. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. What a look. A look that Peter never forgot. A look that made him a changed man. A look that humbled him. May the Lord help us this evening to consider this look, and as we consider it, may it give you some encouragement in your pathway, and may the Lord look upon you. First of all, this look reminded Peter that the Lord Jesus had heard every word that he had said. Something that we forget, but which is true. Every word that you say, indeed more than that, every thought that you think, every deed that we do and every motive, which is the root of everything we do, say, or think, is known unto God. Cannot be hidden. Peter, in his terror, Peter in his fright, Peter in his hour of what he considered to be mortal danger, had forgotten everything else. But how he was going to extract himself from this situation. Lord turned and looked upon Peter, right where he was. The Lord saw where he was. The Lord heard what he said. And even though Peter couldn't at that moment go and speak to the Lord, yet the Lord could come to him in his hour of need, even in the judgment hall, and give to Peter just what he needed. Now this evening you may be in a similar position. You feel so far off, so tempted, so tried, so misunderstood, perhaps so forgotten. You've come to the very end of all your prayers, because Satan says to you, what's the point in carrying on? And it may be this past week has been a week without prayer, because you got into such a point that you cannot pray. And yet, the Lord hasn't forgotten you. The Lord hasn't turned his back upon you. The Lord hasn't cast you out. He hasn't despised you. He has a look just for you. And what is it? Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion upon the son of her womb? Yea, she may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. He hasn't forgotten your need. Whether that need is in your soul, and you're longing for pardon, and you're longing to know your interest in the blood of Christ and the righteousness of Christ, or whether your need is in providence, God hasn't forgotten them either. And your shepherd will supply your need in his own time. He supplied the need of Hannah when she asked for Samuel. Indeed, he gave her more than she even asked for. Not only did she have Samuel, but she had more children afterwards. But what a blessing Samuel was to the children of Israel. Though she had to wait long for him. And maybe you have a need this evening and you've waited long. Many a long year. Maybe it's a need no one else knows of. But as the Lord looks upon you this evening, he knows all about that need. And to you this evening, he says, fear not. Take courage. He's on the throne and he'll supply that need. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. We seem to have digressed, but may that have been in the will of the Lord. This look, it was a look of conviction. Peter remembered the word and he remembered what he had forgotten. He remembered that the Lord had told him that he would thrice deny that he knewest him. He remembered that he said, I will never deny thee, even when the Lord told him that he would. That's really where the fall began, isn't it? Self-confidence. Even to the point where he thought he knew more than the Lord Jesus himself. What does the hymn writer say? Some of you know this look, do you not? In evil long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear, till a new object struck my sight and stopped my wild career. I saw one hanging on a tree, in agonies and blood, who fixed his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood, sure. Never till my latest breath can I forget that look. It seemed to charge me with his death, though not a word he spoke. My conscience felt and owned the guilt and plunged me in despair. I saw my sins his blood had spilt, and helped to nail him there. A second look he gave, which said, I freely all forgive. This blood is for thy ransom paid. I die that thou mayest live. Peter knew both looks, that look that condemned the sin, that look that broke his hard heart, that look that shattered his self-confidence, that look that burned up his pride. And that look that made him a poor, broken-hearted sinner before God. How many of us have known that look? That is how we really are before God. We may not feel it ourselves, but before God, we are nothing in ourselves but poor, wretched, undone sinners. An offence to God. Peter felt that offence deeply. It cut him right to the heart. In fact, he was never the same man after this look. Some of you have known that experience, haven't you? You've never been the same person since when the Lord looked upon you in conviction. And as a guilty sinner, for the first time, or as a guilty sinner having backslid, you've had to return to the Lord and to plead for mercy. Friend, this evening there's still mercy in Jesus. He hasn't run out of mercy. He hasn't run out of loving kindness. He hasn't run out of faithfulness. There is mercy even for you this night, reserved in Jesus. The Father has in Jesus stored all blessings for the poor. One of the greatest of those blessings is mercy. Giving a poor sinner what he does not deserve, and not doing what that sinner does deserve. He will only have mercy in Jesus. Outside of Jesus, he will only condemn. There is nothing but condemnation if you and I come to God in our own name. God cannot and will not show mercy if you do not come on the ground that he has appointed. He never has, he never will, and don't think he'll make an exception for you, because he won't. But all that come to God through Jesus we'll find that he cannot but show mercy, even though he may wait long to answer you in peace. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Doesn't say he looked at Peter, he looked upon him. That look pierced right down into the very depths of his soul. And the Lord saw everything. Not just that sin, but all the sins of Peter's life came before him. And Peter knew what it was to be a guilty wretch before him. He knew where his pride had taken him, where his self-confidence had led him, his self-sufficiency, where it had taken him to, and how it had not stood that test. But then, beloved friends, this was also a look of love. This is different to the look that the Lord Jesus gave Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane a few hours earlier. There was no love in that look. There was no mercy in that look. It was a look of almighty, righteous anger. Friends, this was not a look of anger. Although it was a look of conviction, it was not a look of anger in the way that the Lord looked on Judas. Had it been, Peter would have gone out and hanged himself with Judas. Friends, this was a look of love. Even though Peter had backslidden so badly, even though he had promised so much and then delivered nothing, even though Peter had been a great sinner in making an idol of himself and his feelings, even though he had cursed and swore and called down the wrath of God upon him, if what he said wasn't true, the Lord still loved him. And he loved him with the same love, the same depth of love. Here in this hour in the judgment hall, as he did when Peter declared, "Thou art the Son of God." We see here the depths of the love of God in Christ Jesus. Though he hated Peter's sin, his love for Peter remained unchanged, undimmed. Amazing love. Child of God, the Lord loves you with that same love. Coming sinner who long this evening to feel this love, in the Lord's time he will show you this love. An eternal love, a faithful love, a love which was tried, but unlike Peter's it never failed. The love of God. Not all the wanderings of her heart can make his love from her depart. And why is that? Because his love is unmerited, that's why. You and I could never merit this love in the first place. And therefore we cannot sin it away if once his love is bestowed upon us. It's bestowed as the free, sovereign gift of God. And there was much love in this look. As the Lord looked upon his erring child, his wandering sheep, the father sought his child, the shepherd sought his sheep, he followed me o'er wastes and wilds, o'er deserts vast and deep, he found me nigh to death, famished and faint and lone, he drew me with the bands of love, he saved the wandering one. That's what the love of God does, it goes out. After that sheep, though it was wandered and strayed, though he has turned his back, God does not turn his back upon his sheep, even when they turn their back upon him. Even though they deserve God to turn their back upon them. Peter was never out of the sight of the Lord. Trembling, tossed, tried, won this evening. The Lord is watching over you. Even where you are, you may be in the wilderness, a lonely place. You feel to be isolated from the rest of the sheep. You can't feed. You can't find your way back. You're lonely. You're lost. You're sad. What you need this evening is for the Good Shepherd to come and to carry you with rejoicing on his shoulders home to the fold. And he will come. He won't leave you to die in the wilderness. Peter wasn't left to die in this wilderness. He has a time appointed when he will come and make known to you this love which brings back and restores. He brings my wandering spirit back when I forsake his ways. And leads me for his mercy's sake in paths of truth and grace. This look restored Peter. This look made him dependent. It drew him closer to his Lord. And that is the Lord's intention with you. That's why you've had to go into the wilderness. To lose your own wisdom, to lose your own strength, to lose your own ability, to be brought to nothing, that Jesus Christ might be everything. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. The love of God would not lose Peter. That covenant love. And that covenant love cannot lose you either, poor trembling one. That doesn't give you an excuse to sin. And if you get in that spirit, the Lord will chasten you very sore. And you'll come into trouble that you never anticipated. but it'll bring you out of it as well. The covenant love of God doesn't give you a license to be careless and indifferent in sin. What it does do is says to the vilest, the blackest, the most repeated offender, do not despair. Cast, he said, on me thy care. Whatever that care is in the wilderness, cast, he said, on me thy care, 'tis enough that I am nigh. I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. You say, I can't feel him nigh. But he is nigh. He sees you this evening perfectly, though you can't see him. And in a moment, he can come right where you are. So don't judge on your feelings. Often our feelings are wrong. Not always, but often. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. This was a look of sovereign grace. No one else in this judgment hall was affected like Peter. Here we see the sovereignty of God. Here we see the electing love of God. How many in this judgment hall were treating our Lord disgracefully, shamefully, spitting upon him, mocking him, despitefully using him, abusing him, slandering him? But the Lord didn't look on them like he looked on Peter in this moment. The Lord only looks upon his sheep and his lambs in the way that he looked upon Peter that night. Jesus, cast a look on me. It's a good prayer, isn't it? Jesus, cast a look on me. Give me sweet simplicity. Make me poor and keep me low, seeking only thee to know. That's where you have to come to. Nothing. You've got to come to that place of dependence where you're leaning upon him, depending upon his strength and his wisdom to carry you along. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. This was a look which brought Peter to repentance. It broke his heart. And you and I need the Lord to look upon us to bring us to repentance. It's not something you can do yourself, and yet it is a vital gift. Along with living faith, unless you and I are given repentance, we will never get to heaven. What is repentance? If you go back to the original Greek, it means simply this, a change of mind. And in order to change your mind, you need a change in heart. And if there is real repentance and a change in heart, there will be a change in life. There will be a change in how you live and how you act and your spirit to others. That's what repentance is, to change. And only God can make that change. He is exalted as a prince and a saviour to give repentance and remission of sins. The two go together. no remission of sins without repentance, but God will give both to that coming sinner. This look brought Peter to repentance, brokenheartedness over his sin. It brought him to that change of mind to realize that he wasn't better than the rest of the disciples, that he wasn't more deeply taught, that he couldn't depend upon himself alone. It brought him to thinking he was the chiefest of the apostles, to feeling he was the least of them. That's what repentance does. It will bring you, friend, to this, the chiefest of sinners, and less than the least of all saints. You won't feel worthy of the mercy and the kindness and the love of God. You won't feel worthy to be among his children. How do repenting sinners come? On the ground of mercy. On the ground that Jesus lived and died for sinners. For his sake alone. How do they come like this? Nothing in myself I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. How do they come? A guilty, weak, and helpless worm. Are you willing to be a worm? If Jesus show pity, come so low to be a worm. It's where you've got to come to. A guilty, weak, and helpless worm, on thy kind arms I fall. Be thou my strength and righteousness, my Jesus, yea, my all. And the Lord doesn't turn such away, he welcomes. And you will know what Peter knew, that look of pardoning love and forgiveness, that second look in that hymn we began with. A second look he gave, which said, I freely all forgive. This blood is for thy ransom paid, I die that thou mightst live. The Lord forgave Peter. Free, full, unmerited, eternal forgiveness. And when God forgives, it's complete. When God forgives, he forgets the sin. It's not like when you and I might forgive, especially if that one who sinned against you has wounded you deeply. You might come to the point where you can say, I forgive, but it takes you a lot longer to forget, doesn't it? But as soon as God forgives, he forgets. Sovereignly, he chooses never to remember again the sin. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Now, Peter is not saying to the Lord, be it far from thee, Lord, in regarding his suffering. Now he sees the need of his Lord to suffer and to bleed and to die. Peter goes out to weep bitterly. The Lord goes forth to bear the sin and the punishment of Peter's denials against him. Here we see again the depths of the love of God, that he who was sinned against bears the punishment of that sin. Child of God, you have known mercy and forgiveness. The Lord went forth to Calvary, bearing away your sin. And upon that cross, when he came to that point, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He came to that point in his holy body and soul, where in his holy humanity he felt so far off from the smile and the peace and the nearness of his Father. He felt in such darkness, such misery, such anguish. He felt nothing but the anger of an offended God. And he felt the anger of the whole Godhead, remember that, not just the Father. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are equally angry with sin. All sin. And Father, Son, and Holy Ghost equally love that coming sinner. But upon that cross, the Lord, in that hour of darkness, felt what it was to be far off. So far off. We are told it is a darkness that could be felt, that outer darkness. We read in hell, not just darkness, but outer darkness. In other words, they come to a place where they're as dark as it can be. When they are hopeless, helpless, rejected of God, forsaken of God, left alone by God. For God to completely withdraw his mercy and kindness, that's what it is to be forsaken. To be alone, left alone with their sins and the consequences of sin. That's what hell is. Left alone with the anger of God, and that's where you and I are heading. Unless we are found in Jesus Christ upon that cross in those hours. Especially when he cried that cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Lord bore that indignation, that loneliness, that anger, that absence of peace for his children, each and every one of them. Each of those sins individually demanded that, and he paid that price for each of those sins. That you, child of God, might have that look of peace. The peace between the Son and the Father was for a moment withdrawn. That you might know that look of love. The Lord Jesus Christ in his holy humanity didn't feel anything of the love of God. That you might know light, he knew darkness. That you might know liberty, who knew what it was to come into that bondage. That you might know eternal life, he tasted of death. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. It was a look of protection. After all, Peter is in a dangerous place. His denials deceived no one. There are armed guards at the door and surrounding our Lord. You could quite easily have arrested Peter. Why is he allowed to go out unmolested? Why isn't he stopped? Why isn't he followed? Friends, the look of the Lord here, it was a look of protection. It kept Peter and it restrained his enemies from doing him any harm. And it also banished Satan. At that moment, the Lord said to Satan, "Thus far, no further, touch not his life." And sometimes the Lord looks on you like that, though you don't necessarily know it. The protecting look, your protecting God. The hymn writer says, doesn't he? "When I stand with Christ on high, looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. And then in glory you'll know just how much you owe to the protecting look of God when you are oblivious to it." This was an almighty look. Nothing could withstand that look. Nothing could break through that look. It was a look that broke Peter's heart, and yet it was a look that surrounded him with protection from all his enemies. The Lord can look upon you this evening in that same way, and your enemies will have to withdraw. They'll be powerless. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. This look restored Peter. Peter goes out to weep bitterly. Peter had a useful pathway ahead of him as an apostle of the Lamb. And this was one of the reasons the Lord brought him and allowed him to come into this position. Because a proud saint can do a lot of damage in the church of God. Peter had to be humbled and go in the sieve and the fire in order that that spirit might be quelled. And that as a humble follower of the Lamb, he might be useful in the service of his Lord and Master. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. It was a look of encouragement. Perhaps that's what you need this evening, that encouragement to go on. Not go back. You can't go back, can you? Will you also go away? And where are you going to go if you go away? You can't go back into the world, can you? Because grace has brought you out. And that precious blood that you have known has sealed you. No, you've got to go on. Though the way be rough, though the way be dark, though you might have come to the Red Sea and it has not yet divided, Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you undismayed go on. And how are you going to go on? Looking unto Jesus as he's looking at you. So he will give you the eye of faith to look up unto him in prayer. He will answer those prayers for help, for deliverance, for mercy, for pardon, for encouragement, for peace, for a place in his family. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. There is one more look that the Lord looks upon his Peter's with. Well, no doubt there are many more, but when the Lord calls his Peter's home to glory, how sacred will those first moments be when he calls you home? What is going to make heaven heaven to you? It'll be the Lord's look. As now, not just with the eye of faith, but with your sight, you will see your Lord face to face. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. It won't be far off forever. One day the Lord will call you home to glory, believer. And there you'll spend an eternity looking upon the face of your beloved Lord, looking upon the face of him who was spat upon for you, looking upon the face of him who loved so much, of him who wept, who bled, who died for you. That will be heaven, to live beneath the smile of God, and that forever. No more frowns, no more look of injured love, like this look must have been. All that gone, a look of triumphant love, a look of welcoming love, a look of holy love, for all his looks are holy. That look in heaven will be a holy look, a look of holy love, of holy peace, of holy joy, and that forever. But you'll never know that look in heaven unless you know this look first here below. But just as surely as you, believer, have known the Lord to turn and look upon you, so surely will you one day know that look of welcome into heaven. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. May you and I know that keeping look that keeps us in the narrow way, which makes us obedient. May we know the love of Christ in the love of God in Christ Jesus. And may it constrain us to obey him, to follow him. Yes, follow him in his ordinances. And follow him in the other ways he leads as well. To speak well of him. To honour him. To obey him. And may we at last be favoured to be with him in heaven above. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. May he turn and look upon us. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day, which were for the persecuted Christians in the Middle East amounted to £2,818.50, for which we're truly thankful. And God willing, Mr. Pont is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, not Friday, as on the list. And Mr. Tim Parrish is, God willing, expected to preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School. And we hope to hold a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock next Lord's Day. And our friends at Fenstanton hold their anniversary services on Saturday. Let us close with hymn 267. Children of the Heavenly King, as ye journey, sweetly sing, sing your Saviour's worthy praise, glorious in his works and ways. 267.
Thank you.
to forgive, O Lord, all that thou hast seen wrong in our worship of thy great and holy name this day. Do bless thy word unto our hearts. Do look upon us, Lord. Dismiss us now of thy blessing. Take us under thy safe care. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost be with us each now and forever. Amen.